This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
And there's a denial by Williamson. Quick outlet to Norris.
He can shoot it.
The three drops it.
How about that?
Fade away. Frazier coming after him.
Sister enjoying the.
Yeah.
Her prayers are being answered.
Nice pass. How about that? Goodness. Tapping it back to Clemens.
He is so clever.
Williamson comes right.
He's not getting back. And it's on the 12. Across the basket. He is fatigued. Woo. This is not only divine intervention.
Williamson with 10 points for the game. 8.5 in this late flurry, mostly by him. And a chance to go up by 13.
Well, look at this play. And Crutwig with the hands. Look at him, Emo. Why not? You deserve all the accolades. I don't want to say he's athletic, but goodness, does he know how to play basketball. Just great. Look at this kid.
Another fairy tale ride is underway for Loyola Chicago. And head coach Porter Moser on their way to the Sweet 16. And we've lost the number one seed for the first time in this tournament.
That was yesterday. And I'm just telling you, man, it was so amazing to watch a team play so connected. So connected.
Yes, sir.
Defensively and offensively. And then it was nice of Porter to get Tom Boerwinkle to play in the middle of his team, because Cameron Crutwig reminds me a lot of Boerwinkle.
Big guy, what soft hands. Great hands.
Yes, but yep. What a passer.
Yeah.
And Porter joins us now from Indianapolis, where his club is reveling in their upset win yesterday, and now it's on to get Oregon State in the Sweet 16. Porter, good morning. I know you probably didn't get a lot of sleep because you're just so fired up, but how you feel this morning, man?
Oh, morning, guys. Feel great. Feel blessed looking out the window here, and it's sunny in India. They got me in my bubble. I can't go outside. But, no, it's great. It was, you know, it's fun to hear that. The telecast. It was fun to hear what people say about Crutwig. And, you know, I've said it for a long time, you know, he doesn't pass the eye test, but he's a player. And the whole world's continuing to see it. And, you know, what else was cool? To hear fans. Just, I was listening to those clips while you had him playing in the intro, and it was so cool to see fans. We had a ton of fans. Illinois had a ton of fans. And it was just so good for the state of Illinois to have two ranked teams go at it. Just fortunate we came on top.
Coach, tell us the game plan. Coming into the game, what was your game plan against Illinois?
I tell you, so it's funny because I hold Krut to such a high standard. And, you know, his offense, his passing, he does so many good things. But I'm always on him about his defense. And I literally said, all right, here's the deal. We were really doing a lot of different ball screen coverages. I go, you got to really get up there, and we got to bottle up Io, an All-American. Then you got to roll back in the post and get on another All-American. I'm like, how about that defensive assignment? And I thought Krut had one of his best defensive games of his career. And, you know, our guys are smart. We're able to change up ball screen coverages. We're able to do things on different parts of the floor. And it's just not something we do. We work at our defense all year long. And the guys believe in it. And I thought, like you said, he was really connected.
I thought the philosophy of blitzing Io at the top when he's got the ball, and then you did a great job getting Crutwig to, I won't say front the post, but half man around the, just be really, really aggressive. And that's such a tough match inside. But the whole key for me, Porter, was like Braden Norris. If you go into a gym and you go, well, there's that guy and that guy and that guy, he's going to be like the last guy anyone takes. And that guy is, what a glue player for you. And then he makes big shots.
I remember talking to you, Cap, so many interviews, especially after the Final Four. And, you know, and I was just saying, the people were always, the outside noise saying, you got to recruit this guy, this guy, this guy now. And I just wanted to stay true to what I think is successful for us. And Braden's that guy, too. I mean, he's just tough as nails, high IQ. You look like you can go ISO him and take him one-on-one, and then he levels you off, and he moves his feet. And he gets the ball where you want. And literally, I think he played 80 minutes in the two games. Like 80 hard minutes. like some guys that play that many minutes will coast a little bit. He played 80 minutes. And I remember one time I was like, it was like 30 seconds before media timeout. Like I was about to take him out and give him a quick breather and then have the media and then put him in afterwards. And he's like, no, no. Like, okay. You know, because he just wants to play. But you know what else I think was cool, Cap, is that another thing when I got this job, you know, everybody said to me, you know, it's a pro town. It's a pro town. And I said, no, it's a sports town. And Chicago will love you and embrace you if you play the right way. And I just feel the passion of basketball in the state of Illinois.
Yep.
But I tell you what was really cool is that we didn't have any Illinois players. We had one Illinois player on a roster. And it was so apropos that you get two Illinois teams that are ranked playing to go to the Sweet 16, and our top three scorers were from Illinois. Cameron Crutwig, Lucas Williamson, and Marquise Kennedy were our top three scorers in that game yesterday. And I just thought that was really apropos.
Awesome.
Coach, what do you do to get the team involved defensively? We talked about this earlier, how, man, defenses want to. And just watching Illinois, you know, watching the game yesterday, Cap, was like, for me, watching a regular season game in the Valley for Loyola as far as the defensive principles being laid down. So, Coach, talk to us about the defensive presence for your team against Illinois. What stood out most?
You know, just we have a tremendous amount of respect for them. I mean, the transition defense, we didn't want them going downhill. Whether it was downhill on a ball screen, we wanted to bottle it up. Whether it was downhill in transition, we wanted to make a wall in transition. We wanted to just not let them go downhill because we got such a respect for their transition game and their ball screen game when they're going downhill. And the other thing is, you talked about Cameron getting on top. They do such a good job of Illinois does, of getting the ball to Kofi from the top. We call it the funnel, and getting it down. And that's hard to trap and dig on because both wings are not on help side. When the ball's in the middle of the floor, both wings are strong side. So you're lifted. And they get a great job of throwing it into him, and then he makes his move real quick, and it's hard to trap. So we were really trying to get Crud on top and trying to get that pass coming in from the side so we could crowd it and dig it so there could be a help side. And Crud had to move. He really had to move more than he's ever moved before. And we challenged him, and he did it. And Kofi still had 21. He's a tremendous player. And Curbelo, man, that kid is really good for Illinois. He gets the ball to him. He is an elite passer. He's low to the ground. They got really good players, and I, you know, and good classy guys too. You know, after the game, they were really respectful. I really, you know, I walked up the hallway. I saw a couple of them. They're just, it was really respectful guys. I know that had to hurt them too, but that. Coach Brad's got that program flying, doing a great direction, just really a lot of respect for him.
I felt, and we're talking with Porter Moser, the great coach at Loyola, I felt like watching, and I had a bunch of your games this year, watching that team, I'm sure every coach conditions their guys. Your guys just look like they're better conditioned than people that they're playing. Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer for that. We work at it. I mean, we work at it. I guess we're playing hard. We go live too a lot. Some people this late in the season, we kind of have a process where, you know, if we got 4 days for a game, those first couple days we're going at it hard, and then we pull back as the game approaches. And we were here at Sunday, and then we played Georgia Tech on Saturday. Our first couple days of practice here were we went at it. I mean, we absolutely went at it, and. You know, I think that's maybe part of it, but our guys, they're conditioned to play hard, and that's credit to them.
Coach, how great was this for Chicagoland to have, you know, everyone saw the brackets and said, well, what could be, but now it happens where you take on Illinois, but how great was this for Chicagoland? Is this something that we could see in the future more often?
You know what, I love it. I mean, Chicago has so many good high school coaches, high school players, high school programs, and the suburbs all the way out and throughout the state. And I know there's been some down years of basketball, but the passion's never let up amongst these coaches and the basketball people of Chicago wanting this to go. And I just think it's really cool that teams are. There's a lot of other programs in our state that are on the rise. And I just think, you know, it's a basketball-rich city, and it only means that it keeps going up. And I love the fact that we were on stage yesterday, Illinois and Austin. But I think it means a lot for the Loyola fan base, though, you know, because to sustain this, to get back again, to not have it, you know, people, you know, this sustaining it. And how it went down, I think it was really cool for Rambler fans to get that win.
So you told me after you advanced in 18 that you called Rick Majerus's cell phone number, even though Rick's been gone for, I think, 11 years now. The jolly, heavyset guy watching that game upstairs yesterday, I guarantee you, is beaming how your team plays and, more importantly, how you carry yourself as a head coach. How much was he in your mind as you prep and as you go through all this? Because he helped you resurrect your career to the point where you're the hottest name in the country.
No, Coach Majerus means so much to me. I mean, he, you know, spending 4 years with him, sitting in the boardroom with him and watching his mind twist and turn, game planning, and just taking 4 years of that. And, you know, it means so much to me, as well as my other mentor from Chicago, Tony Barone. You know, I played for Tony at Creighton. He got me into the coaching profession. I was blessed. I had two great basketball minds pour into me. I'm very, very blessed. But speaking of coach, I think about him often, Coach Majerus. And you can look at any old interview. I said this 1,000 times during Krutwig's freshman year. I said, Coach Majerus would love Cameron Krutwig. I said it all the time.
He would.
and I go, just because he loves basketball. I'd go recruiting with Coach. I'd be like, all right, Coach, this kid's 6'10". He's like, the first question he'd ask, does he love basketball? Find out. Like, dig in. Like, he had to know that the big loved basketball. He didn't want it, because there's nothing worse than a big man that doesn't like to play. And Krut just loves to play. He's smart. He doesn't pass the eye test. And Coach Majerus didn't pass the eye test. And, you know, they would have really loved each other. They would have gone out eating afterwards. They would have really gotten along. But I just knew he would love Krutwig's game.
You know, Coach, I just can't see you just being quarantined and sequestered in that room. I mean, what do you do?
I'm pacing right now.
I know.
I'm pacing right now. I'm getting my steps in. I'm walking around, looking at the window, rocking around like the room. I mean, I'm going nuts. I want to get out.
I know.
They gave us it was like prison. They go, all right, you have a 30-minute block. You can go out and walk. There's a minor league baseball field across the street. I'm like, what is that, our prison yard? We get to walk around the yard. And,
right.
And talk. And we literally went out, and I'm just walking around, just pacing outside, got some fresh air. And we got to really be creative this week, just for the mental health of these guys.
Yeah.
I want them to enjoy it, have fun. We got to find some fun things we can do, because it is a sacrifice. Like last time when we beat Tennessee, we came back, had a huge celebration at Loyola. They had a big thing the whole week. We were home, saw our families, regrouped, and then went on to Atlanta to play in the Sweet 16. Here, we just come back to the hotel. We can't see family. We couldn't talk to friends. They just bust us right back to the bubble. And so we got to do some things, because we don't play till Saturday, to keep these guys enjoying it, enjoying each other, but also the mental part of it, of not feeling like you're just so isolated.
Well, I can promise you this. My wife was on the phone yesterday with Rick Malnati, and there is a delivery on its way to you for your team to enjoy some great pizza.
He did it last night. He's so great. We sent just so many pizzas from the Indianapolis store over, man. We enjoyed the heck out of a great Chicago pizza meal last night.
So there you go. I was sitting there watching games, and I hear my wife. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, we're sending pizza to the Loyola team over at the hotel.
Mike. It's awesome. It was awesome. It was so good to get Chicago pizza. We've been here a week.
Well, we are rooting for you. You know how much I adore you, and I hope it just continues, man.
Likewise, my friend. See you guys.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Coach.
There he is, the great Porter Moser, head coach at Loyola. Sweet 16, second time for him. He did it in 18, and they made it to the Final Four, where they lost to Michigan. And now they got a shot against Oregon State to get themselves to an Elite Eight.
It is amazing the run that Loyola's been on. It's just been great. As I mentioned to you before, Cap, watching the game yesterday reminded me of just a regular season game in the Valley, the way they played defensively.
Yep.
First of all, they passed the ball well. They had 14, 15 steals in the game. So they got in the passing lanes really well. They just do everything fundamentally sound.
Yeah, Krutwig's stat line was amazing. What is the line on the game for this weekend? Danny, don't look. I'm going to quiz him. Is Loyola now Chicago's team? Was that a historic loss for the Illini? If you're an Illinois fan, how are you feeling today? 312-332-3776. Your calls next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Carmen Yerk at 10. And then we got college basketball. We're carrying all of the tournament. So starting, I think the first game is Iowa. Iowa coming up at 11:10.
Yes. Let's get Red-Faced McCaffrey. We'll get him eliminated, and we'll move on through the tournament.
No. Oh, I love Fran.
Got your bet out there?
I have Iowa.
I figure that. Put your money where your mouth is. Red-Faced McCaffrey to start off the day.
Let's go. Let's get it on. So let's go to the phones, Hoodie.
Let's talk about Chicago's Big Ten team, Loyola.
Let's do it. Ivan is out in Jefferson Park. Ivan, what's going on, Sparkles?
Yeah, I want to know about these rankings. If you ranked 22, why does the selection committee rank you not 8? Don't they both get together and say, well, this team is in the top 25. They should be the worst. They should be a 7.
Yeah, they don't use really the national rankings at all. They use something called net ranking, which takes your strength of schedule, your quality wins. Like, there are teams out there, like Belmont won, 26 games, Hoodie?
Correct.
But look at their schedule, and they're a very good team. They didn't win their conference tournament. Look at their schedule and go, well, who are their big-time wins? And as much as I, and we appreciate your call, much as I adore Loyola, you may disagree with me, Jonathan. They played Wisconsin. They lost. They played Richmond, who's an NIT team. Mm-hmm. They lost. Name me, and I know they're a good team, and you know we've had them. But if you're sitting in that committee room and you're putting everything on paper and you're like, they played a Big Ten team, they lost. They played an 8-10 team, they lost. The wins over whoever it is, Valpo or whoever, no disrespect to them, don't qualify as much as the teams that play in the Big Ten.
So there's your frustration if you are a one-bid league coach.
Correct.
That's your frustration. Like, okay, yeah, in our non-conference, we're not playing Michigan State and Oregon and Gonzaga. We're not that. We don't need that. But what we can do is we can win our division, win our conference, and get to the tournament. But people look at the one-loss record, they look at strength of schedule, and it's like, well, this is the conference I'm in. I'm in the Summit, or I'm in some small – what am I supposed to do? I mean, what am I supposed to do about my strength of schedule? Am I supposed to play Blue Blood to get respect? It's tough.
And then you pick up the phone, because when I was at Northern, I had to do some of our scheduling.
Yeah.
And I remember Coach McDougal would say, okay, see what – first of all, we wanted the guarantee money.
Of course you do.
And for people at home, what do you mean by that? So Chicago State goes and plays at Texas.
Yeah.
Texas says, we'll give you $100,000 to make the trip. You pay your expenses out of it. The rest of it goes into your athletic budget.
Right.
Well, they're not drawing over there.
Right.
So that's where they fund all the athletic programs at the whole school. So the Chicago State coach, for example, goes and plays Texas on a Monday. Wednesday, he's at Alabama. And on Saturday, he's getting his head kicked in at Florida. Why would you guys play those teams? You can't beat them because each one gave me $100,000 to come there.
Correct.
The school needs it. Who suffers? The players, the coach. But if you're – pick a good team. Let's pick a really, really good – Iowa.
Sure.
Hey, you want to come play Loyola? No. You want to come play by me? I'll let you come into Iowa City and play. No. I want you to come to Loyola.
Nope.
I ain't coming there.
No.
What do I have to gain if I'm Iowa?
You screw me up. Now, you want to do 2-1? You can come to me twice.
Sometimes they'll say 3-1.
Yeah. We can do that.
Correct.
And we spread it out over years. We can do that.
Like Izzo? He'll play anybody. At UIC.
He'll play anybody.
John Heathcote, same thing. Yeah. They would go in and play. Okay, come twice to East Lansing. I'll come once back to Chicago. Most coaches, no chance.
Scared to death.
They're either buying a team they could beat the crap out of, or they're only playing the tough ones unless they have to.
Yes.
At home.
Because it messes up your strength and schedule. Say you lose against those teams. Oh, God.
Correct.
So now it's like, well, that's a bad loss, and that's a bad loss. But you did well in conference. But those, but your non-conference, even though you played those teams, you fell short. You can't afford that.
Correct. They say, if I'm going to lose, I'm playing another big-name school.
Sure.
I'm not playing a perceived mid-major who's actually really good.
And quite frankly, that's the problem around here in this state.
Mm-hmm.
All these teams should play one another.
Right.
Yeah, I'd love to have that. You talk about the love of college basketball. You put it in one place and have all the teams play. Especially the bigger teams, scared.
If you're the coach of Illinois.
What do you think Illinois UIC has done?
Right.
After Howard Moore beat them the one time.
Because Illinois says, well, hold on a second. We got to pay them a bunch of money to come to us. And the one time we go up there and we get our ass beat, it hurts our strength of schedule. And we're supposed to win. Nobody knows. Loyola's a hell of a team. Now they do.
Right. But, now they do.
Right. That's just the unfortunate problem that you have at a mid-major school.
You think Porter picks up the phone while he's bored in the room and calls Underwood and says, can we do this again?
Let's play again.
Underwood hangs up the phone. No!
Go after yourself.
Come on, man. We'll go down there twice. Two for one? No. I don't want any more of you.
Right.
Enough. Goodbye.
They'll play you when they think they're going to whip your ass.
Right.
As soon as they're like, hold on a minute. A mid-major could beat me? Yeah, I'm out. Not playing. Eddie on the north side.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? So my daughter graduated from Loyola for environmental science a couple of years ago. I remember the last run. I was in the basement to that bar watching the game with all them crazy college kids, and everything was great. But I'm tired of hearing people saying this guy in Illinois, the center, he's so talented. Just because you're big and stand underneath a basket and try to dunk it every time and throw a ball up just hoping it goes in. He got schooled off of that center yesterday at Loyola. I mean, the guy was doing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhooks. And one thing that I was really pissed off about that game, and it's because of our governor, is I couldn't bet on Loyola yesterday. Thanks, guys, Pritzker. Have a great day, and go Loyola.
Thank you. Thank you, Pritzker.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Pritzker.
That's a banner on DraftKings, by the way. Right? As soon as you open it up, like, you cannot bet on teams.
Points bet, same thing.
Yeah, I understand that. Thank you. I understand that.
Yeah, per Illinois regulations, you are not allowed to bet in any college games in the state of Illinois. That's the stupidest thing. Josh Whitman was one of the driving forces behind it, the Illinois AD. And if he was in here, I'd say to him, Josh, do you know how many thousands of people have an app on their phone for Bovada, Bookmaker, Sportsbook.com? All of them. They don't have the same regulations because they're offshore. So if you think people aren't able to bet on Illinois games, it's just dumb. You couldn't even buy a futures ticket on who would win the national championship. Loyola was 200-1 when the tournament started.
Would you like to address how bad Kofi Coburn is from Eddie?
Yeah, Kofi Coburn was pretty damn good offensively yesterday.
Now, they gave it to him late. They gave it to the big, but they gave it to him late.
Correct.
They tried to figure it out, but the game was out of reach by that time.
But Kofi Coburn moved to this country from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Had really very little training in how to play the sport of basketball till he was living in New York. But he was not a kid who was in biddy basketball at 4 years of age and junior high basketball and AAU basketball. He got to this country in 2014. He's 21 years of age. He is 7 feet tall. He is 270 pounds. He's got great hands. He's an awesome kid. They said his work ethic is off the charts. Hey, man, he needs seasoning. Don't write this kid off because he's 21 years of age.
Well, Eddie says he just is there underneath the basket dunking. So I'm like, he's been doing that all season since he's been here. I'll take him.
In a second.
Now, Krutwig is, again, he is an anomaly. You don't get guys like that, an old school, back to the basket, fundamentally around the rim guy like Krutwig. You just don't get that. Yeah, like when you get a Kofi, though, that's right there underneath the basket. He's not trying to be a guard. He's not shooting threes. He's just a big guy lumbering in there that has got a powerful game. I totally am against whoever was saying Clark Kellogg or whoever was saying that he's Shaq. Well, he's not Shaq.
Kofi you're talking about.
Yeah, Kofi. Yeah. You kept hearing that.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's not Shaq.
Baby Shaq.
We saw Shaq at LSU. That's a whole different breed right there.
Whole different dude. He's just a big guy.
Here's something else we found out over the weekend, too. This Illini team is not the 89 team. It's not the Flying Illini team.
No.
See what happens, Cap? Again, the hot take versus what you actually see. Mm-hmm. You want to see the progression of this team, believing that they could be good, before you just crown them Stephen Bardo and battle in the 89 team. See that?
Agree.
See, this is what happens when you go too fast. That team's the new Flying Illini. No, it's not.
Stop yourself. You know how many pros were on that Illinois team? Kendall Gill, Kenny Battle, Nick Anderson, Marcus Liberty. I'd have to go back.
And Bardo.
Bartle played in the NBA. So there's at least five guys that played in the NBA. They were loaded. Kendall was like the fifth pick overall.
Yep.
Kenny Battle was a first rounder. Marcus Liberty was a first rounder. Nick Anderson was a first. They had like four first round picks.
This Illini team, I mean, they're like the new flying.
Stop.
You know how good that team was?
Amazing.
How talented that team was?
Amazing. They're a block out away on the offensive glass or their defensive glass from going to the championship game.
Just be careful of the hot take. Just be careful.
All right. Shot or no shot is next.
Take that.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
That's why I see him in my show.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see.
Shot, no shot, brought to you by PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbook is here. Visit us at Hawthorne Racecourse. Experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. But first, download the PointsBet app. Get $100 in free bets when you deposit $20 with the code ESPN. Danny!
Gentlemen!
Morning, Danny. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Jonathan. How you doing, my friend?
Doing good, man. How about that Loyola? How about that team?
I tell you, I love that. There's nothing I just don't love about that Loyola team. America's team. Forget Chicago's team. America's team.
Hi, Dan.
All right, new guac.
Cap?
Hi, Danny. How you doing, buddy?
Cap, what's up, Cap?
All is good, man. Sister Jean was in rare form yesterday.
Sister Jean! Sister Jean, God bless her. I mean, where would that Loyola team? You, I felt like you missed your mark with Porter this when we talked to him at 9 a.m. You didn't compliment her defense or all those clutch buckets she hit. She shut down Kofi. I mean, some of those post moves. I haven't seen post moves like that since Patrick Ewing.
Without Sister Jean, you'd have been booking Underwood.
Sister Jean! Okay, Cap. Let's not go down that road. Let's not go down that road.
Hey, listen. You know what? If you notice, the focus has been on Porter and how good the team was, how they had a major win against a number one team. That should be where the focus is.
Well, we're not falling for the nonsense. Like Cap's TV station, if I may. They had a tweet over the weekend.
I don't
weekend.
Own a TV station. I simply work there.
The Kaplan Network.
The Kaplan Network had, Illinois Loyola, they had a tweet with the state of Illinois on one side. It said Illinois, and Io's face was in there. It had a state of Illinois on the other side. It said Loyola, and it was Sister Jean's face. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Crutwig didn't deserve his face in there? There wasn't a player on Loyola that deserved their face. And now, if I will, because we are not immune to criticism here at ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago, our lovely social media crew—they're great. I love everything about them.
Travis,
but like Travis Wacker, we should be ashamed of ourselves. We Instagrammed out. You can follow us on Instagram, ESPN _ Chicago. Sister Jean's Ramblers advanced to the next round. Sister Jean's Ramblers. Not Porter Moser's Ramblers.
Oh,
not Cameron Crutwig's Ramblers. Sister Jean's Ramblers. We're just as guilty as everybody else ignoring the actual people that accomplished something.
Okay.
We should be ashamed of ourselves. And after this show, I'm marching down to Travis's office, and he and I are going mano-a-mano, wearing masks, but he's never going to let that happen again.
You beat your ass.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I screen grabbed ESPN.com, which gets 70 billion hits a month. First story. Boeheim's 25 sends Syracuse into Sweet 16.
Yes.
That'd be Buddy Boeheim.
He's the coach.
No,
and Buddy Boeheim was a stud.
The second story. Second story. You got the Celtics after it. You got Salvador Perez's huge extension with the Royals, biggest ever. You got the guy who won the golf term. Second story. Loyola sinks Illinois. Following Sister Jean's prayer.
Yeah, her prayer made the difference. Forget Porter Moser's coaching. Forget the fact that literally out of a dead ball or a timeout, the plays that Porter Moser draws up is like a Ginsu knife cutting through a tomato. But yet Sister Jean's prayer is the reason they won. Forget the fact that Loyola is in such good shape that Kofi looked like he was going to have a heart attack late in the second. He couldn't run anymore. And the Loyola guys are in such great shape. But her prayer made the difference.
Well, that's what Raftery was telling me yesterday.
Can she pray that we all get the COVID? Like, let's save her prayers for things that matter, like getting us all the COVID vaccine. Can she pray for that?
Ooh, a prayer, Jim Nance. The ability.
All right, now you're getting me heated, and I'm going to get suspended again. Listen, and I've got no problem with everyone's coming at me like I don't. She's a sweet 100-year-old woman.
Yes.
She reminds me of a grandma. I like Sister Jean a lot. What I don't like is the fact that she is getting praise and attention for something that literally has nothing to do with her. She's the mascot. And do not tell me that tweet on Friday of her petting the Butler Bulldog was not exactly what I'm talking about. It went viral. It's like the two mascots next to each other went viral.
By the way, somebody who I work with.
Did you call Sister Gina? Did you hear what he just said?
I called her the mascot. Isn't she the mascot?
No.
They're the Ramblers. They have a wolf.
They have a wolf that's a mascot.
And you know, my son, he was super excited. Avery, my 7-year-old, we were watching the Loyola game, and you see the Loyola fans there wearing the colors and the scarves.
Yeah.
And he said that's Harry Potter's uniform. I didn't even realize that, but they are the Harry Potters.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah,
buddy of mine who I work with over there, he's
over at your TV station?
Yeah, way
so
down.
So you don't work with him. He works for you.
No, he works with me.
Raftery?
With teammates.
Raftery?
But
I work there? Get the puppies organized.
Onions.
Sister G with a little nylon.
But it's a dear friend of mine. But he's down the food chain.
Where's the game?
You're like, you know,
I'm
the distributor. You're the guy that makes the food.
He's above me. I'm way below him.
Onions.
He said, "Okay, this is the only time I've ever agreed with Danny ever." But he is exactly right.
Listen, it was embarrassing for your TV station. Like, they have a player on Illinois. They have a player on Illinois in the state of Illinois and Sister Jean. Cameron Krutwig was trending yesterday just because of the way he looks and the fact that he carries a harmonica and the fact he doesn't look like he should have been able to make those kind of plays on the court. But no, your TV station couldn't put his face there. It had to be Sister Jean. And we're guilty here, too. Travis is going to get it after this. I've been sharpening my elbows.
Oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea with Travis.
All you got to do to kind of get Travis off guard is step on his shoes. And then he'll be like, oh, my God, my new shoes.
Right, and then tell him that Giannis Antetokounmpo is leaving.
I don't know if that's going to – I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah. I've done a lot of things that aren't good ideas.
All right, Danny.
I don't know if it's a good idea.
Well, thanks for getting to me so quickly for Shot or No Shot. Kaplan.
I got to you on time. You took it all for Sister G.
You're playing that. What do you think's going to happen? I'm pent up.
Danny gets triggered.
All right, boys. It's been 20 years since Michigan State won the Big Ten's most recent national championship. OSU out. Illinois out. Both highly rated seeds. They're home this year. Shot or no shot, without a national title this season, the Big Ten is only a good regular season conference.
I mean, you just had Michigan in the finals.
Oh, boy. That's a no shot because Michigan is still there, right?
Michigan's there. Yes. As of this moment, 9:44, you have Michigan.
Yes.
Iowa. Maryland.
Well, Maryland's out. But you got Michigan, though.
You sure Maryland's out?
I'm not a fan. But I think that Michigan, Iowa, tell you what, battle tested. They've had some really good battles. I like that team.
Can you imagine if it's Luka Garza against Cameron Krutwig? That would be awesome.
Boy, down low, those two. My God, I'd love that. I tell you what, Kev, I would say no shot because they still have two teams, not Maryland, two teams that are viable in the tournament.
Mark Turgeon wants a word. I'll say no shot. I'm with Hoodie. Danny, got one more real fast?
Well, gentlemen, I mean, we can continue on the other side of the break. I don't want to cram this in here.
All right.
What?
We will get to...
Ooh, cram it.
Ooh. Organize those puppies.
Organize the puppies. I can't see the game. The ability. Oh, look at the big guy. Hey, feed him down low. Feed him a lot. Jim Nance. Where am I? Ooh, onions.
Twitch is sponsored by the Marquee Sports Network. Tune in, twitch.tv/ESPN1000, Chicago. Be right back.
Get them organized. Do they?
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Get back to shot, no shot. John Greenberg, who's a great follow on Twitter from The Athletic. JG had a good tweet yesterday, Hoodie, as you're doing Bill Raftery for us very eloquently and very well. Raftery's last toss to commercial showing a Krutwig basket was hilarious. Quote, some old-time religion, rock and roll, play your harmonica, sing your song, big fella. It was great. I remember that one. I remember as soon as he did, I'm like, that's awesome. That is awesome. And then John tweeted that.
The producer counting him down. He's just like, I just got to say words. Just keep talking until the commercial. The ability. The ability on the send and the feed. What?
Jer, you got to find that one in the next couple days. We got to have that before they play again. Raftery tossed a commercial on a Krutwig basket. Awesome. We got to get that. 312-332-3776. Back to Daniel N. Zetterman.
Guys, during the commercial break, a man by the name of George on the north side called and told me he is going to meet me outside to take me in the alley and beat me for what I said about Sister Jean. I begged him to say it on the air, but he would not. But I just think that's a very interesting take.
Come on, George. First of all, Danny's pretty wiry. I worked out with Danny in Arizona.
No.
He is not a skinny dude, man. He is wiry strong.
No, this Danny, is not so much. Like 5 years ago, he would have took him off in the offer. He'd be like, you know what? I'll meet you downstairs, 10:30, pal, and I'll whoop your ass. And that would have had to hold Danny back.
Not I'm just anymore. Telling you. Danny's a dad now.
Yes.
Like Danny's bio of his Twitter, I think it's bio on Twitter or Instagram, says blah, 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 blah. But most importantly, dad.
Most importantly, a Jayhawk. I think that's what it says.
Rock Chalk, we play tonight. For the record, I do not dislike Sister Jean. I dislike the fact that she is more important than the players and the coach. Boys, let's get back to shot or no shot.
Yeah.
The Bears gave defensive tackle Akeem Hicks permission to seek a trade, but nothing materialized, and now it appears Hicks will remain a Chicago Bear. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, there will be some friction between the outspoken Hicks and the Bears this season.
If they're like 4-12, yeah, it's going to get nasty.
Maybe. I will say no shot to that. Only thing that triggers Hicks is Tom Waddle. So, I mean, if Waddle says something sideways, then maybe that could be the case.
Yeah, and that...
Because Waddle's so hard on Hicks. It's just ridiculous. I mean, every time he opens the mic, he's got something negative to say about Hakeem Hicks, this guy. So I think if anything is going to trigger Hicks, it's going to be... Sorry? I'm talking here. So Hicks here, the only thing that's going to trigger him is Waddle. That's usually the case. Danny.
All right, gentlemen, with seven lawsuits filed, five more promised, and at least 10 more possibly coming, common sense suggests that it will be very difficult, if not impossible, for the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson. However, Saturday, the Houston Chronicle suggested there are multiple teams still interested, the Eagles, the Panthers, the Jets, the Dolphins, the 49ers, the Broncos. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, with all that's going on with Deshaun Watson off the field, he will be traded this offseason.
That's a tough one.
That's a really tough one, because if I'm a team in the NFL that wants him right now, how many are we up to now? Did they add another 20 more?
I mean,
it's like every hour there's another woman coming forward going, yes, I massaged him and I was assaulted, or it was inappropriate. Like, really?
No shot. I think he's going to stay with the Texans. It's their issue now.
Yeah.
It's Watson's issue. But it's the Texans' issue. If you're a team, you're like, I love the talent, but you cannot separate the talent from the incidents that are alleged.
And he says, I'm not settling because that means I'm admitting I did something wrong, and I didn't. And his attorney is a big-name attorney, Rusty Harden, who represented Roger Clemens, among others.
Mm-hmm.
We're not settling because he did nothing wrong. But as this thing just keeps getting more and more, you trading a package of stuff for him? Not until you know the facts, right?
You don't know what the facts are. So I'm just going to say no shot to this. I think the Texans just have to hold steady until they can find out more about what really happened there with Deshaun Watson.
If the Texans called you, you're Ryan Pace, and the Texans called you and they said, give us exactly what you offered for Russell Wilson, we'll do it right now.
No, I can't do it,
you
man.
You can't.
I just can't until we find out more.
What if, God forbid, you say, okay, here's three ones and a three and two players. And a month later, you get a phone call from NFL security. Yeah, the allegations are true.
Unless you put in the contract contingency on whether or not he goes to jail or not.
Trade backs.
Right.
Hello. Yeah, Nick. That's their GM, Nick Casario. Yeah, it's Ryan. Yeah, he just got arrested. They took him away in handcuffs. I want everything back. I want all my picks back.
It has to be in the...
Sorry, Sonny Weaver Jr., that's not happening.
Well, that's got to be in the language of the contract.
I don't think that can be.
Well, then we can't do a deal then.
Buyer beware.
All right. I'll take him as long as he's available and not in jail. That's fair, is it not?
I don't think that there's any way the league would ever allow a trade to go through like that. You're taking on the risk. They're not going to say...
Yeah.
3 months from now, hey, guess what? We're getting ready for training camp. Hey, I'm giving you back Deshaun Watson. Give me all my stuff back.
Yeah.
No chance.
Danny?
All right, gentlemen. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer suggested that the
Bulls...
He's
a good friend of mine. He coached the Raptors and Northwestern. Oh, that's Kevin O'Neill. Sorry. Go ahead.
He suggests that the Bulls are pursuing a trade for the Pelicans guard Lonzo Ball. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot? Lonzo Ball is the point guard the Bulls are looking for.
I know the Bulls like him. I don't know if that's the answer, though. Actually, LaMelo, come find out that LaMelo actually is a more dynamic player. It's too bad his season's over now in Charlotte.
Yeah, they broke his wrist.
Had an opportunity to go to the playoffs with him.
And he would have been Rookie of the Year, right?
I believe so. I will say no shot, but the Bulls are in need of a lead guard because even we saw again last night, you know, Cap and I were talking about this, Archie Diacono had 15 minutes and White had 17. He's getting buried.
Yes.
White.
Correct.
So they need a lead guard badly. And the answer is not what they have on the roster right now in Satoransky.
Right. If you tell me I can have Lonzo Ball for Satoransky and a number two pick, a second round pick,
right?
All in. You want me to give you Markkanen? You want me to give you a good potential piece? For a guy who is going to be a restricted free agent, I'm going to have to pay big money to?
Right.
No shot.
So not Lonzo, but they're going to have to find a lead guard, Danny, at some point, for sure.
Restricted this summer.
Lonzo?
Yes.
Restricted?
Restricted free agent this summer.
Yeah.
No. I can't take that risk.
Danny.
That's it, gentlemen. Thank you.
How about the Kim Kardashian
Appreciate it.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Wow.
Sister Jean!
Sister Jean!
Sister Jean!
All right, we'll cross talk with Carmen Yurk in 2 minutes.